Well, today we're going to do a piece in Navi. Okay? Shmuel Beis, Perek Vav. Okay, so basically we're doing Shmuel Beis, Perek Vav. And it's basically talking about when, after David HaMelech became king. Okay, it's about David HaMelech. After he became king, and he became very strong and powerful. Okay, he destroyed the enemies, destroyed some of Plishtim, right? And then basically decided to get the Aron. Okay, to get the Aron, which was previously in Kiryas Yarim, whatever. It was previously somewhere else. Okay, and he wanted to bring the Aron back to where he was in Yerushalayim. Okay? So, this is actually, we could have waited, but this is actually a Haftorah of Parsa Shemini, just in a few weeks. Okay? So, let's read through Perek Vav. Okay, we'll go through it, and we'll ask questions, we'll try to analyze it. Hopefully we'll get some answers also. Okay. So it says, Vayosef od David, as called Bachor b'Yisrael Shloshim Aleph. So David gathered. He continued to gather all the chosen ones in Kali Yisrael, 30,000. So they got up to go, the people with him, to Bala Yehuda, to bring the Aron Hashem. Asher Nikra, Shem, Shem, Hashem, Tzvakos, Yoshev, Ekruv, Malach. That the name, this is an interesting verbiage, but I don't want to go into it right now, but it's called the name of God, who's Hashem Tzvakos, who's dwells on the Kruvim, on it. Okay, so the Aron is the Shem Hashem is called on the Aron. Just say something like that. God reveals himself through the Aron. He speaks to Kali, he speaks through the Aron, his Ashkacha, the Shechina rests to be on the Aron, whatever, so, something like that. So they put the Aron, Hashem, on this new wagon, a new cart, a wagon. So it's on a wagon which is being pulled by animals. So when they carried it from the house of Avinadav, which is in Geva,
isn't that already
a
project because it's
for Achadasha? Yeah, hold on one second. So it says, hold on. But Uzzah and Achia were carrying or driving this wagon. Okay, yeah, there is a problem, perhaps. Perhaps the problem of carrying it on the wagons, because in theory you're supposed to carry it on the shoulders. But we'll get to that. Okay, so they carried it with the Aron. The Achio holich of Aron. Achio is going in front of the Aron. David v'chol beis Yisrael mesachkim of Hashem. David and all the Jews were like playing before God. B'chalatev roshim u'chinoros u'nevolim u'sufim u'ananim u'totzalim. All different types of instruments. Okay, lots and lots of different instruments. And they came to this place, Gor and Nachon. Vayishlach Uzzah el Aron ho Elokim vayochazbo. So Uzzah stretched forth his hand to get the Aron. Okay, and he grabbed it. Ki shamtu abakar, because the oxen, the bakar, slept. Like it slips from off of them. So Uzzah, to grab it, to protect it, to save it, he reached forth. And it sounds like a nice thing to do, but if you know anything about the story before, you'll know it's not such a nice thing to do. But if you know anything about this story, you'd think it is a nice thing to do. Right? Sounds like a reasonable thing to do. Vayicharav Hashem b'Uzzah. Hashem got angry. Very angry with Uzzah. And he struck him down. He hit him there for his mistake, for his error. And he died there by the Aron. Okay. What was the mistake? Rashi says, Ahashal, Ahashkagat. It's on the mistake. Shahilo Lidro, she should have been Doresh, called the Chomer. Nos of Nasabi Yardain, who Atmal Koshkin, when they crossed the Yardain, they say the the Aaron carried the carriers across the Arden so that they wouldn't drown or whatever. So it like lifted them up over the water. So if it carries its carriers, certainly it could carry itself. Doesn't need you to help to pick it up. But after all, it did seem to slip. And after all, they did carry it. Right? Okay. But that's okay. So we'll get to that. David got angry that Hashem did this breach against Uzzah. He called it Peretz Uzzah until this day. So David feared God. How could we bring the Aaron? It's too hard. We can't deal. We can't do this. We're going to all get killed, right? Scary. So he didn't want to bring it to your David. So he directed it to the house of Obed Edom. Okay. So it stayed there for 3 months. Let's go Beso, and Hashem blessed his house. You get money, kids, whatever. All different mafarshim say different things. Very successful. Apparently he was able to treat it properly. Ayugad le David, the Melech David, Leimar, Beirach Hashem es Beis Oved Edom, Eskal Shaloba, Voron Olkem. So Hashem blessed Oved Edom and his house because of the Aron, Vayelach David, Vayal Es Aron Olkem, Beis Oved Edom, Yer David B'Simcha. So then David was happy and he brought it to Yer David in happiness. Vayi Kitzadu no Se Aron Hashem Shisha Tzadim, when it walked, when they brought it 6 paces, Vayizbach Shoramri. So he brought a karbanos. Okay, but David mecharker becholozus nei Hashem. David danced with all his might before God. The David chagor ephod body, who's wearing a linen ephod. The David chol beis shalmalam esaron Hashem esruo v'kol shofar, and they brought the aron with music, you know, shofar and music. V'yaron Hashem b'yer David u'michal b'ashal neshkafa b'arach alon. So Michal b'ashal saw him. Ateres Hamelach David mefazes and mecharkel fnei Hashem, and she saw him dancing like crazy before God. Vatives lo beliba, and she looked down at him in his heart. Vayaviu es Aron Hashem, vayatzigu oso bemkomo v'sochol, and they brought the Aron and she put it. They put it in its place in the tent. Ashenota lo David, that David cast for it. I pitched for it. Vayel David olos fnei Hashem u'shlamim ibakavos. Yichal David olos olav Hashem vayivarech Hashem b'shem Hashem tzoros. He blessed the people. And he gave out all kinds of bread and loaves of bread and meat and wine, and everyone went home. And then David came back to bless his house. So Michal Bashal said, this is famous, right? How honored today was the king. She's talking like sarcastically, I guess. How honored today was the king of Yisrael. Hashem nigla hayom leinei amos avodav ki golos nigla sachar arekim, that he revealed himself in the eyes of the maidservants like a lowly person does. Right? Before Hashem, who chose me over your father and his whole household. Shaul, right? Litzavos osinogir alam Hashem al Yisrael. Right? Who commanded me to be the ruler of all of Klal Yisrael. Am Hashem. V'sichakti ofnei Hashem, and I was happy before Hashem. V'naklozi od mizos. Even if I was even more demeaning of myself. V'yisi shafal be'enoi. And I was embarrassed or lowly in my own eyes. V'amamos asher marta imam. And with these maidservants, imam ikaveda. With them, I actually get honored. Your saying is that I'm looked down upon. I look lowly. I look lowly in my eyes, but in their eyes, I look on the contrary. I gain respect. Michal Bashol lo haya la yala ad yomosan. And presumably because of this, it's chait, Michal Bashol didn't have any kids from this point onwards.
Did she die having a baby?
No.
Or she never
no,
had
I don't think
children?
So. No, she had prior to this, but not after this.
Okay.
So this is it. This is a bad. Okay? That's the end of the barrack. That's the end of the barrack. Okay. So. Okay, so I guess we should look at some Mefarshim, but do we have any questions just off the bat before we get going with a look at some Mefarshim here? Okay, that's true. Why is David bringing in her father? It sounds like he's getting all personal. Okay, good. Okay, any other questions? On the whole, but back to the beginning of the parak. I mean, not exclusively, but anything's fair game at this point.
I'm just a little confused as to what David is exactly saying to Micha.
Okay, so I think he's saying two things. One thing he's saying that I am dancing like crazy because it's Lefnei Hashem. And Lefnei Hashem, this is what it takes. I'm lowly, it's true, but I can't worry about myself. This is Kavod Hashem, and I'm going all out because of Lefnei Hashem.
So that would mean he's agreeing with her that he is doing something wrong, but it's okay because it's Lefnei Hashem?
Well, I think that's his first point is that not that I'm doing something wrong, but I am... Even if I am demeaning myself, this is Lefnei Hashem, and this is what I have to do. I can't. Your saying is I should be worried about the king, the honor of the king. He says there's no honor of the king in the face of the honor of Hashem. The honor of Hashem trumps. You can't consider your own honor in the face of the honor of God, and you can't sacrifice the honor of God because you're worried about your human honor. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I think secondly he's saying that I argue on your very premise, that you're saying I'm making myself degraded, which I think is worth it. It is worth it because of Kavod Hashem. But I think you're wrong anyways. Is that I don't think that I am degraded. On the contrary, I think that they see me as giving up of my own honor for the sake of God, and on the contrary, they respect me for that. I personally feel embarrassed or whatever, but I know with my mind that in the long run I actually gain respect through that. But that's like a second point. Even if he didn't, it doesn't matter. Coach Kavod Hashem takes precedence. But he's just saying you're making a mistake anyways by thinking that they on the surface it looks like I'm a lowly fool. But they realize that I don't do this in general. I'm not a lowly fool. I'm only doing this because of Kavod Hashem. And they see a king who is more concerned about Kavod Shemayim than his own Kavod, and that's something which they respect. And they're happy to have a king like that. So you're making a mistake anyways about the whole thing. But his first point is, that's not why he did it. It's not he didn't do it in because it will bring him Kavod. He did it because of Kavod Shemayim. But he's just saying, besides for that fact, anyways, it's wrong. It's not true. I don't really. I'm not really disgraced.
Okay.
Yeah. Good question.
What does the first pasuk mean about choosing 30,000 people?
I don't know. I think it was warriors or something. I'm not sure. I don't know. I guess the warriors. Let me see if I can say. But I think it's parenthetic to what we're doing.
Like he's choosing people to help carry the arm, but it had nothing to do with that.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I don't see anyone say here. I mean, he gathered more and more people for a war, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he gathered more people to carry the Aron for cover of the Aron. Maybe for more cover of the Aron. Sounds like a doc saying something like that. He originally had people for war, but now he wants even more because it's covered with Aaron. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions?
David, he only became like happy once he saw that the Aaron had left the house of.
Yes. Who's that? Is that Nicole?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it seemed he only became happy. It seems so. I mean, at first he seemed like he was frightened of the Aaron because he saw that Uzzah died, and it seems like he was afraid that he couldn't handle it. that the Aaron is like bringing bad stuff. But then it seems like when he saw Oved Edom, who apparently, I guess, treated it properly, and on the contrary, was very successful, so then I guess it gave him strength or courage or whatever that he could do it also, and they could properly, on the contrary, he could bring bracha. I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting question. I know, he knew that already. It's a good question. Like, what exactly changed? I mean, he knew the Aaron's a good thing. Now, he just knew that Uzzah made a mistake. So, okay, fine. Or something. So now, what did he learn from Oved Edom exactly? That's a good question. It's a good question. Okay, I like the question. Let's hold the question. Good question. Okay.
Maybe he thought it was situational and based on your own height, and he learned that he wasn't worthy to be near the Aaron, and he would die like Oved.
Okay. Not like Uzzah.
I'm sorry?
Like Uzzah.
Like Uzzah, I mean.
And then what happened to Oved Edom? So then how did that help him?
So that showed him that if you're worthy, you can get bracha from...
Right. But I think Nicole's saying is, well, he didn't know that. He didn't know that the Aaron gets bracha. Good question. Let's collect some more questions, but we could try to answer. Let's see what other questions are there. I mean, there are other problems in this whole partial, right?
What was his reaction to Uzzah's death? Surprising.
He called the place. Why is he calling the place Peretz Uzzah? Seems like he wanted to remember it, right?
Right. But then he talks about how like fear or not.
Yeah, he was afraid.
Yeah.
Well, presumably he was afraid that more people would die.
Yeah.
Right, I think so. That's what
it
sounds like.
I followed from the pasuk before where because he had gotten angry and called the place Peretz Uzzah, that's why he was suddenly afraid, because he maybe realized that he did something wrong here.
Oh.
It's his own chait that is causing him to be afraid of being near the Aaron now. That's why I thought there was a connection there.
Perhaps.
I don't think he thought more people would die per se. I mean, this guy Uzzah was the only one who was trying.
Well, that's true, but what was sounds like Vayiro, he was afraid of something.
Maybe it's more general, like you had just
yeah, he
said,
says, Mesudas David says, he was afraid, he thought it's impossible for a person to do it properly, to properly be Uzzah here. So then I guess it would help with Nicole's other question. Sounds like he's saying once he saw Oved Edom did it successfully, like he thought it's almost like it's like superhuman to be able to go out to guard it properly. So he couldn't do it, but he saw Oved Edom, who I don't know, I guess was a good guy, but apparently he thought that he did it. So it's not, I guess it wasn't clear how strict God is here. It's not clear how bad Uzzah's thing is now strict. So he thought it's like God's super duper strict and it's impossible to be properly careful. But then I guess when he saw that Edom did it, so apparently he realized that the standard is within reach. Something like that. Seems like that's what Mrs. David is trying to say, you know?
Also,
yes.
In Pasuk Yud-Dalet, it just said like David was wearing this
April, and like
it's just being kind of like out of place.
Right. Like,
just talking about his dancing, and then it says he's wearing his
tunic, and then it goes back to like his dancing. Yeah, right. That's a good question. Let's see here. Well, he says it's like the Mitzvah David says it's like a special clothing that was like a Kohen Gadol. It was like a very special clothing for someone who's involved in Avodas Hashem. So Shmuel also wore this type of thing. So it's like some sort of a sign of service to God. That's interesting. Something like that. Like it's some sort of special servant of God. Well, I don't know if he's trying to do that. It's just that it's like a special service of God clothes.
Like special clothes you only wear when you're serving God.
Sounds like that's what he's learning. Yeah. I thought I saw this somewhere, but I can't find it. I thought it just meant somehow it's like some sort of thing that when he dances and pops around, it would show some of his skin or something like that. Like, it wasn't like a... Let me see if someone says this. I can't really find it. But she's saying is that he was being too... One second. I don't know. It's hard to know. We don't know exactly what this thing looked like. I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, that's what they're saying it just means. I can't say. I thought I saw someone who said it was like revealing. Like the way he was dancing, it was like some sort of something that was revealing of him. And it wasn't that part of why it wasn't appropriate for him to do it. It like set the stage for why she got angry. But I don't see anyone saying that now. I thought I saw it somewhere, so maybe I did, or maybe I'm just making it up. So I don't know. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's a good thing to notice, though. It does sound out of place. I hear you. Okay, good. What else? What are the questions here?
Did we ask why it was so bad that he touched Aaron?
No, that's the question I was hoping someone would ask.
Why is it so bad?
Yeah, what's so bad?
Was it touched
Aaron? Yeah. What's so bad? Is that such a chayt? I mean, why is it a chayt altogether? I mean, does it really seem so bad? Doesn't seem so bad, you know? It's like, what's the problem? He's, after all, it seems if anything, he's honoring the Aaron. Right? He's honoring it, he's holding on to it, making sure it doesn't fall. Is that like so terrible? And if it's, even if you'll say this Kal v'chomer, so he's getting killed for that?
Because it was so clear to everybody that the Aaron, at that point that it had, everybody saw that it carried its carriers, and also it had the special things on the sides to
the badim.
That was clear that you're not supposed to touch the Aaron. You're only supposed to carry it with those badim.
Right.
So it was just something that was so completely understood that everybody knew you shouldn't touch the Aaron. It was completely.
Is it because he touched it? I mean, it's not clear. Maybe he grabbed it by the balls. I don't really know, but is that the problem? Because he touched it? It doesn't sound like that's exactly what Rashi's saying. It's like because he should have had a Kal v'chomer that it carries his carriers, it doesn't need you to get, you know?
Maybe
more like the carrying thing.
Maybe the Yochas bow is not just. Is it just that he was simply trying to reach out to stop it from falling, or did he do something else that is referred to by the Yochas bow?
The Mitzudos David says, "Al miyot hamanaso b'Hashem," his lack or his diminished trust in God. Lachsho sheipol aron alaretz, that he thought that the God's aron would fall to the ground. Yeah.
Involuntary. So
I know.
Like
sounds like a reflex, right?
A reflex reaction.
I know. It's true. There's an interesting. Let me see. There's another Rashi I wanted to show you guys. Oh, this is interesting here. This is a Rashi on. Let me see if there's also a red dog here. Yeah, give me one second here.
It's like when a parent sees a child falling, it's like the reaction to just reach out and protect them from.
It's true. Yeah, so Rashi says like this. It says, an interesting thing, he says, you put it on this agala, on the wagon. So it says, you made a mistake in something that even kids know. Kids in a school, Ki avodas hakodesh aleihem bekasev yisao. It's a pasuk in Bamidbar that the avodas hakodesh on, they should carry the aron on their shoulders. Right, on their shoulders, the poles on their shoulders. Right? And David HaMelech is putting it on a wagon. He says, Lefi sha'amar zmiros ha'yilichu kacha beveis megurai. And since David HaMelech said, a pasuk in Tehillim, that your laws, Hashem, your laws were to me like music in my dwelling house, that was bad. He shouldn't have said that. He was saying it's their music. It's like music to his ears. It's beautiful. He says, because he said that, nanash, lovely dekach. He was punished to come to this. Which seems like, what's the wise out of chay? What's wrong with that?
What?
To come to this, carrying it improperly. And for Uzzah to do this thing. Umeis Uzzah al-Yadah. And Uzzah died through his hand.
The fikach,
kishahavim beis Oved Adam, when he brought it from Oved, heviyu bekasef. Then they carried it on their shoulders. And that's the pasuk again, and Derayamim.
Just that, like,
something's
like a song. It's like frivolous or like a serious. Oh, I thought you meant that the word Miros Hayali Kukeha was made into a song. That would be pretty ironic.
Yeah. So this is, I think the Radak says that he reasoned, I have to look for it now, but I think he reasoned that the halacha is, how do you make this mistake? It's an open pasuk. But he says is that halachically, the time when it's because of Yisrael is when you're carrying the Mishkan. So you're carrying the entire Mishkan and you're carrying the Aron. So he says that there's a halacha is, you have to differentiate between the carrying of the Aron and the rest of the Mishkan. So the rest of the Mishkan you carry on wagons, and the Aron you carry on your shoulders. But he says when there was no rest of the Mishkan, all there was the Aron. So then it doesn't matter. That's what he held. So therefore, that's why he is able to do it. But apparently he was wrong, right? But is that so terrible? I mean, he made a mistake. Right? And then also, what does it mean? And now the kids did know it. So, I mean, the kids knew better than him. Like, the whole thing is a funny kind of a chait. And it's funny, how's this tied in with them saying about the Zemiros? That sounds like totally unrelated, no?
Yeah.
And then what does that do with Uzzah? Whose chait was it here? Was it David's chait or was it Uzzah's chait? Seems like it was Uzzah's chait. So now, was it David? Now you're telling me David's chait and David did this and David's punished. Was it punishing Uzzah for David's chait or is it punishing David for Uzzah for David's chait?
David's punished.
What?
Where is David punished?
Where is he punished? I know, that's my question. Right, it seems that's what I'm asking. Is that it seems like David did a chait that he said Zemir Salah Yidhukacha. And therefore he carried the Aron wrong, and therefore somehow Uzzah did this, and therefore Uzzah is being punished and getting killed. So it sounds like you're saying it sounds like Uzzah is getting killed for David's chait. Wasn't it Uzzah's chait? How does David's chait fit into this thing? Is David being punished? I mean, you could say, look, he's the king and he's kind of sort of being punished. It's whatever, slowing down his whole celebration party or whatever, but It's not clear the connection between David's few different things wrong here and Uzzah's mistake and, you know, the whole thing, just it's not clear what's going on.
Okay, the punishment is that it was an embarrassment to him as the king who was supposed to know this and prevent somebody else from dying on account of this. So the fact that from that point on,
right,
everybody sees him as, you know, you did this and that's what ended up causing Uzzah's death. That's a punishment in and of itself because he's losing the respect of the people.
Right. I mean, that's true. I mean, it's a punishment to David because he's supposed to be the leader. They're respecting him for doing things right, and here it is, under his guard, and this whole thing happens to him, and he's apparently very upset by it, and he's afraid, and he looks bad in terms of his whole success and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a failure as a leader, and he's getting, you know, a failure of the nation, and it's a setback to his kingdom, setting up his kingdom. That's true.
And maybe the reason why this was a good punishment for what he did is because the two things that he had done. The first one was Zemiros Hayali Kukacha. He's making light of Hashem's laws.
Right.
And Hashem is a king. You don't make light of the king's laws.
Right.
And then he made the Aron into something that was, you know, oh, we can put it on a wagon.
Right.
And dance, you know, whatever he did that was not the perfect kavod for something that Hashem is choosing as a vessel to put his, you know, b'shachanti b'socho.
Right.
So, in a sense, the punishment that he got was that his kingdom was taken down a notch because he was taking Hashem's kingdom down a notch. Mm.
Right. There you
go. Just a theory.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good. Okay.
I want to push back on the idea that singing is making light of Hashem's laws.
That's saying Zemir Salih Kekacha? Is that what you're asking about?
Push back on that.
What?
It seems like a nice thing to say. What's wrong with the singing?
Yeah, okay, good question. Yeah, it's not saying that he was singing.
The singing or the problem was
No. I don't think it means that I sang it. I think he means he's comparing it to Zemiros. Zemiros, it's like music to my ears. The learning Torah was like music to my ears. I enjoyed it like music. I don't think it means I sang songs. I don't think that's pshat. Shad is, it's like he is beautiful and he's he appreciated and enjoyed the learning of Torah like music. But it doesn't answer the question. I mean, I hear you. Anyway, it's the same question. I mean, what's the big deal? Isn't that true? Isn't
like
it supposed to be that way?
The Torah is just like Shakespeare. But that it's not like Shakespeare. You know, it's
true.
It's not poetry. It's something beyond that.
But you do say like the Hara of Nahashon Elokeinu's that Hashem should make it pleasant and sweet. That's part of our tefillah, that the tefillah of learning is supposed to be that way. That's part of the design of the Torah, that it should be very enjoyable as much as music and as the greatest enjoyments. That is the way the Torah is. Is it not? What you're saying is still, it's somehow demeaning to it. Yeah, I kind of hear that, but I think we have to explain that a little bit more. And it doesn't seem exactly, right? We have to connect it up with the whole thing here, right?
I'm wondering about the differences in the way that David dances the first time and the second time, and more generally, the differences in his approach to bringing it. Like, what are the little differences between the way he does it the first time and the second time, and what does that reflect about?
Right. Okay, that's a good point. Right. I mean, that's true. The question, I guess, is there... This parak has to take one and take two. Right? Was there some sort of a correction which she underwent in this three-month period that the Aaron was by Uzzah, such that now he learned his lesson and now changed his tune in a way which was proper. Right. Right. Yeah, that's a good direction, is to see if we could see the differences and see what changed. Because it seems like now it was all good, right? It seems like things were better. And now Michal was the one making a mistake, but it seemed like he was doing things properly now. Yeah, someone was about to say something? Tamar, how are you doing there?
I'm good. Sorry, I was on mute.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't know. Sorry, could you explain again what you were saying with the pasuk about the Torah was like music to him?
I'm saying that, I mean, I'm not explaining it that much, but I think the pshat is that he's comparing it to music. That music is beautiful and enjoyable.
The comparison is problematic, or the comparison is like, in this case, he was making light of the law.
It seems like it's problematic. I mean, you could say it's, in general, it's a good idea, but here it's problematic, but I don't see any indication of that. It seems like it's saying it was wrong. And it's somehow okay. It's wrong to say that. So, I mean, that's the question, is it seems to be a fine comparison. On some level, it seems to be true. It seems to be that is the case. Torah is enjoyable, and it's beautiful, and it's an empire you can enjoy. And I think there's like a chazal, says, Ein simcha katar sasvekos. There's no simcha like resolving doubts. You know, like, that's our learning Torah. It's part of enjoyment. And we say, V'harav na'ashem alakim, that's the right Torah. Befina, it should be pleasant and enjoyable. So that's certainly part of the design of the Torah, is that that's the Talmud Torah is enjoyable, more enjoyable than music. But what's wrong? So that's, I guess, the question is, what is wrong with it? It seems like a fine sentiment.
These murals are, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird that the Pasuk can tell him, like, right, like, that it would be, like, you say there if it's, like, false.
I know, it's still part of Tehillim. I know, this is interesting. It is still part of Tehillim. And there's other sentiments like that also. There's another part that says, Lulai Torascha Shashuai Avadivani or something, if not for Torah, my plaything. I think Chazal takes to task for that also. But apparently it sounds like there is some truth to it, and it made the cut, so to speak, to be in Tehillim, but at the same time, there's something wrong with it. It doesn't sound like it's totally a bad idea, because then why is it part of Tehillim? And we zug it. Or whatever we do with Tehillim. But, right? It's part of our Tehillim. I mean, why not strike it off the record? And why is it part of it? Seems like there is a certain truth to it, but something was wrong. It's interesting. It's just interesting that it doesn't say... I don't know. I didn't look at the pasuk there with Mefarshim, but I doubt they say strike that from the record and don't really... That's a mistake. If it was, does it really have to be part of Tehillim? I don't really know. I don't know how these things work, but...
Murals are man-made.
Yes.
It's comparing something that's divine origin, designed by God, to something that's man-made.
Oh, so it should be better than murals.
It's better, and also, if you say that the Torah is just like murals, then you're saying that it could, people criticize poetry, criticize music.
That's
and
true.
People could say, oh, let's do some Bible criticism.
Okay. I hear you.
I think we should be looking at this more critically, though.
You think we should be looking at it more critically?
Looking at the Torah?
I don't know who's just talking, but they were saying that, like, you criticize poetry and stuff, but I think that's, like, that definitely is a way to approach the Torah.
That's true. I mean, I guess that's a bigger discussion, but it's true. I mean, there is a certain place for criticizing Torah, being critical of Torah, like you would poetry, but there's also, it's not the exact same thing. I know, that's a good discussion, but I think it will take us far afield, but it's a good point you're making, Nicole, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting... I like the point. That's an interesting... discussion, like the place. On the one hand, Bible criticism is, in one line, I would seem like the Torah is divine, and that has to be a premise. But at the same time, there is probing the Torah and being brutally honest and being critical of it in order to understand it. But at the same time, there's a premise of the fact that it's Me'ad Hashem. So there is such a thing as crossing the line, where you criticize it in like a condescending way. You know, like that's how biblical, that's I think the tendency, like the subtlety of biblical criticism. You know, and that's the way we criticize poetry. But the criticism of, you know, probing inquiry, which is the method of inquiry, is to be critical as a tool of being able to, asking sharp questions is a tool of being able to discover the truth which you know lies therein. That's a good thing.
So the tendency is, at least my tendency is, when I know, I like to know the background of an author or the person who composed the music, to know their history and what it is that, where they're coming from, what it is that made them hate this such a way. And it's not the same thing when you're talking about Torah.
Right. It's true. It's different. It's an interesting point. I mean, there are differences and there are similarities. There's things which are similar and appropriate, and then there is crossing the line. And it would be interesting to define exactly. I think I'm starting to make a point, but it's interesting to fully delineate what exactly Okay, someone else? Sharon, how are you doing there?
Okay. Maybe it's not the zero part. Maybe it's the basic gray part that's the problem.
I know, I was thinking that, but what does that mean? Basic gray is like where I lived, right?
I thought it's like where he sojourned, like where he was the only one and everyone else was against him. And then he's bringing the Aron the first time with support of his army, and right after he conquered the Plishtim, so it's like a political move, and he's like, yes, I'm doing it, and then the second time it's with Balaam, so maybe it's like the source of the motivation.
The second time it's with what?
The second time it's Balaam.
Oh, Balaam, I understand. So basically it's like more of a private thing, you're saying.
Yeah, almost like showing everybody, like, I'm going to show them.
Like, I understand. It's interesting. It wasn't exactly private, though, right? I mean, 30,000, and that was like, V'chol ha'amasharito, Mibali Yehuda. I mean, he took an additional 30,000, and then all the people that were with him. Seems like there were a lot of people, but I hear what you're saying anyways. Seems like that, what does it say the next time? Where does it say Kalam? Does it? Yes, Doesn't it say that? Chol Yisrael, Chol Beis Yisrael, Malam Asaron Hashem Besru B'Kol Shofar. Okay, I hear you. Okay, good. Yeah, it's not exactly, the first one isn't exactly private like Beis Megurai, but I hear what you're saying.
And it's army and politicians.
Right, I understand. I hear you.
Well, not really, because in Pesach Hay, there's also David and Colby.
Let's see. V'davu Colby Shom Asach L'Mei Hashem. True. Good point. Okay, so you guys want to hear some, maybe put some things together here? Or you guys want to suggest, maybe give more suggestions? I don't really mind if we just discuss, and then we discuss more next week, or you want to hear something now?
Another question that I have, it seems a little strange to name the place after something that's really embarrassing about it. Why would you want it to be remembered?
That's a good question.
As this is the place where Uzzah ended up dying because of my mistake.
Sure. Good question. Okay. It's a good question. Why name the place Paratuza? Okay, so I'll tell you what I'm thinking. Actually, by next week I'm not going to be here. I'm going to Seattle, actually. Yeah, recruiting.
Recruiting for yeshiva?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay.
That means the yeshiva is expanding. There's more guys.
What? Yeah, okay. So the thing is like this. What happened here is that David HaMelech, it seems like there's different facets to the cover of the Torah and to the Aron, the Torah, and it seems like David HaMelech at first viewed the Aron and the Torah in a limited fashion, and then he broadened his horizon, so to speak, and viewed the Aron in a much broader fashion, which was more appropriate. which means like this, is that maybe that, see, originally, Zmiros HaLilich Lukacha B'Veis Megurai, is that the Torah was music to his ears, beautiful music, that he would learn, and it was unbelievable. And that's true. That's one facet of the Torah, is the beauty of the ideas of the Torah, of Talmud Torah. And that's unbelievable, and that's part of Tehillim. That's something which we can't forget about. That's Haravna. But that's the highest experience for a person who could be involved in that. But at the same time, that's not for everybody. I mean, that's for each according to their level. I mean, for David HaMelech, he appreciated that on the highest level. And each person in line with their Chachma could appreciate the music, so to speak, of the Torah. Right? The beauty of the ideas of the Torah. But the Am at large can't relate. Maybe they could taste it on some level, but they can't appreciate it, certainly like David HaMelech did. And yes, it's true for you, David HaMelech, the world of the ideas of Torah and the Chachmas of Torah, but at the same time, the Torah talks to the Am Yisrael. The Aron and the Shrashchina and the Mikshkan talk to Am Yisrael at large. And the Torah represents Hashkachas Hashem. It represents Hashem's close relationship to Klal Yisrael. It represents the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and our identity and our tied to the values and the lives and the nationality of Klal Yisrael. And, well, you know, our Sinai and Yitzchak Mitzrayim, and the beauty of the experience of Talmud Torah is the highest realization of the Torah on the part of the greatest people. But at the same time, the Torah is written in a way, and the system is designed in a way, that it talks to everyone. Everyone. From the plainest, simplest person to the greatest leader like David HaMelech, the Mashiach Hashem. And yes, Miros HaLich Lukecha is nice for David HaMelech. And for David HaMelech, he's involved in the world of the abstract halacha. And perhaps that's why, when it comes to the thinking about how to carry the Aron, David HaMelech thinks he's going through the sugya, and he says, the pasuk saying carrying on your shoulders, that's a halacha when you're contrasting the Aron together with the Mishkan. The Mishkan is carried on your shoulders, on the wagon, and the Aron is on your shoulders. But when there is no Mishkan, then the halacha doesn't apply. And it could be he was right. Halachically, that's true. And that's a nice halachic distinction, and he could appreciate that halachic distinction. And it's fine, it doesn't mean it was a halachic error. But for the Tinoka Shalbeis Rabban, the kids, the simple people, right? Like the kids have an attachment to the Torah on a simple level. They don't perceive this Zmir Zayich L'Kecha, but they're attached to the basic Pshat in the Torah and the Psukim. They see we carry the Aron on our shoulders, and that's great kavod and respect for the Aron. Because the Aron is something which is worthy of great respect. And that halachic distinction is a good halachic distinction for a halachist and for someone like David HaMelech. But for the Am, it's just not right to carry the Aron on the wagon. If something is precious to you, there's a way in which you carry something precious. You carry it on your hand. You don't put it in a box. You don't whatever. You hold on to it. You don't go distant from it, but you carry it in a respectable manner. You carry it on your shoulders, and that's what the Tinoka Shalbeis Rabban. It doesn't mean they knew the halacha better than him, but it means there's a certain intuitive sense of that halacha which a plain person is in touch with, which David HaMelech, because of his involvement in the Zmiros HaLich Lukecha and the beauty of the ideals of the halachic system, is that he lost sight, so to speak, of the way the plain person, what the Aron means to a plain, simple person. And he didn't properly convey to the Am and to the people the great respect and the awesomeness of what the Aron was on a level for everybody. And it could be because of that, and we'll get into this in more, a little more particulars, because of that, that he didn't properly convey that, Uzzah slipped up. Uzzah's slip up was tied in with David HaMelech not properly conveying the utmost respect that we have to have for the Aaron. And because Uzzah didn't have that sentiment proper, therefore he made a mistake. He made an error in his way he related to the thing. Now, whose chayt is it? Ultimately, it's Uzzah's chayt. He's his own person. But it's David is also responsible because it's the leader's responsibility to educate the people and to inculcate in them a proper attitude. So ultimately, Uzzah was punished most severely because it's his chayt, but secondarily, as I mentioned, secondarily as a leader, he was punished as a leader. He wasn't killed, but his leadership, his nation was harmed because he had a chayt vis-a-vis leadership of the nation. Now, what was the chayt? So it could be like this, is that you'll ask, what is the problem that he grabbed it? Aren't we supposed to hold it? We're supposed to carry it on our shoulders. If you want to just let the Aron carry itself, so just stand on the side and let the Aron walk itself. But the mitzvah is to carry it on the shoulders.
With the poles.
With the poles, right, true. But still, you see, why don't you just let it carry itself? What do you need to even use the shoulders for? Just let it do itself. The Aron's so special that it does it on its own. So what's he supposed to, right? Isn't that, but apparently we don't. We carry it. So why aren't we supposed to, if it's falling, are we supposed to, isn't that part of carrying it to make sure it stays up? Right, so what do you do wrong? When you grab it, what are you supposed to do? Don't carry it if you don't want. If you want to say that the Aron magically carries itself, or it's an ace, then let it carry itself and don't carry it in the first place. But apparently there's two ways. Why do we carry the Aron? Because the Aron needs us, or because we need the Aron? It's not because the Aron needs us. The Aron carried its carriers. The Aron was the Hashkacha of HaGad, the Kla Yisrael, was via the Aron. The Shechina was shown on the Aron. We won wars. When the Aron went out with us to war, we won the wars. So the Aron was that vehicle, that object, which was brought to mind the Nisim and Hashkacha Hashem. And the Aron doesn't need us to carry it. In theory, the Aron could have walked itself. It doesn't need us to carry it. But it's kavod for man to recognize how precious the Aron is, and for us to want to carry it, and to want to hold it on our shoulders in a close type of a way. And what's the difference if we're carrying it for it or for us, if it starts to slip? If you're carrying it because it needs you, then it's a panic. Watch out, quickly, grab it, someone, reach out your hand. If it's because of kavod that you have to honor it, yes, of course you want to pick it up, you don't just let it slip. But you don't have to panic. It's not. It doesn't need you. It's a derech kavod to do it. But the way in which you do it, the mindset with which you do it, perhaps the haste with which you did it, is an internal chet. It's a slip in his It belies an internal attitude of not the highest respect for it, that he felt in some sort of a way that he's servicing the Aron. Not that he's paying respect to the Aron, but he's servicing it, that he needs him. And that was, it's like he didn't properly have the appreciation of how awesome the Aron is. And that's traceable to David HaMelech for not properly conveying that to the people. And because of that, he was punished. Because this is a public spectacle, and he's conveying a wrong idea to the Klal, so it has to be straightened out, unfortunately, through his death. But it was necessary to show the people. What's that?
Why does it then explain to see that it was slipping because the Aron couldn't carry it just?
What's your question?
So then why does it explain to say that the reason it was slipping was because
that's presumably why it was slipping, because the oxen dislodged it. But still, it dislodged because it dislodged, because the oxen dislodged it. But given that fact, now, it's not like if we would have let it go, the Aron would have fallen and shattered and broken, and you need Uzzah to fix it. Rather, it's derech kavod for it to be carried properly, and you should do that because that's a derech kavod. But it's the way in which he did it was improper.
It sounds like it was a sting operation, almost. Like it was set up in such a way to test him.
It's not clear that that's the case.
Because otherwise, why didn't it just float off when the oxen start to slip. It could have just...
It could be. It could be. It doesn't mean it was a sting operation. It could just be that God wasn't doing that. I mean, God wasn't... I mean, that's a different question. Why didn't God immediately prevent it? Seems like that wasn't the case. I mean, God didn't interfere with his Bechira. He had Bechira. The situation presented itself that there was a Bechira situation. Here was he going to act properly or not? And God didn't intervene. He intervened when he made a mistake. It's not clear that he was in order, set up in order to show something, as opposed to it just happened and God let it run its course.
But he could have just said that he was slipping. Like, he didn't have to say specifically that it was the cause of the harm.
I don't know if that matters really. I mean, it's just saying that it was a natural thing that it slipped. It was slipping because the oxen were moving. I don't see why it should matter. I mean, I wouldn't have been upset if it didn't say the oxen slipping, but I don't see what's the problem with saying that it did. It means it's something which, to a plain observer who thinks that he's helping the Aaron, it looks like the oxen are slipping, and it's painted to show why in Uzzah's eyes he felt like he could, oh, the oxen are moving, watch out. So he saw the oxen moving wrong, he saw it slipping. It's like painting the image which he saw, which anyone who's not at the level would make a similar mistake. But if you had the proper relationship to it, then he would have not reacted exactly in that way. It's a subtle mistake, and I think that's why David HaMelech was somewhat fearful, is because this, it's not clear exactly how bad it was going on in Uzzah's mind, and what exactly was his mindset. But David HaMelech wasn't sure. Maybe Uzzah was generally right, but he had a subtle mistake. And then God is being especially judgmental, so to speak, and especially strict in his justice, and then we can't handle it. Or maybe Uzzah really slipped up. It's kind of like in his head. You can't tell from the action, because the action is an action, maybe the subtle speed with which Uzzah grabbed it, but I don't know if you can necessarily judge that. It's more like in his head. So it seems like David HaMelech, that's what David's saying, is that he thought, is it not possible to be so zayir? But apparently it wasn't true. It's just Uzzah was worse, and his mistake was worse, and you see that Oved Adom was able to do it properly. And he was able to do it properly, and when he saw that he was able to do it properly, so he says, oh, so apparently it's not crazy, impossible, it's just Uzzah made a mistake. But he apparently thought into this whole error. He thought into the fact that he didn't properly inculcate in the people the greatest respect for the Aaron and how awesome and how amazing and how, you know, it is for everybody, not just for him and his base Megurai learning is. And I think your point is good. It wasn't just for him and his private base Megurai learning is a thing, but this is awesome for everybody. And then when he came the second time, you know, then he was dancing like crazy. Like a wild, crazy dance. And it could be that was part of trying to show the people. Now he really went all out. And that all out, it could be, was part of what he learned. Is that he can't quietly appreciate it in his own head of the Bismiros Hayilichu Kacha, Ves Megurai. But he had to demonstrate in a clear, manifest, unbelievable, wild type of a way, the dancing and the carbonos and the great giving everybody food and wine, and like, it was like a massive display to all the people. From the simplest person could appreciate how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and how the greatest respect. And that was what Michal, it was so much so that Michal thought it's too much. He was really going all out, but that was what he learned. He saw that he has to convey to the Am, as the king of Ami, of Klal Yisrael, he has to talk to the entire klal, from the greatest chachamim who he gives a shir to the plainest maidservants who he's dancing like wild to, and then they will respect him in a way, and they'll respect the Shem Hashem, and they'll recognize how precious the Aaron is, and they'll relate to it properly, and they'll respect it properly, and they'll carry it properly, and then they're not going to make the mistake which is with it. And he saw that if he could do that, then he wasn't fearful. Then he knew that if he could teach the people that, and he could bring the Aaron in under that, and that, you know, based upon that type of a demonstration, he felt the Am could handle it, and they could step up to the properly respected, and not fall prey to the type of chet that was with it. Oh, and it could be with that other question, is why do you call it Peretz Uzzah? It could be specifically, he didn't want to forget it. It was a mistake, but he didn't want to forget the mistake. We have to always remember Peretz Uzzah. We can't, there's a place here, in our country, which shows what happens when we slip up and we relate to the Aron improperly. The Aron is an unbelievable gift, and when we have it, we have the greatest Ashkacha, because we reflect the Shem Hashem, and when we reflect the Shem Hashem, there's a great Ashkacha. God shows what happens to people who reflect the Shem Hashem. But if we mistreat it, then on the contrary, if God wouldn't punish us, so then it's like, this is the way we treat the Shem Hashem, and then on the contrary, it's the Chilul Hashem. So then there's a great onesh, and it is important for everybody to remember what happened. He didn't want to hide it. On the contrary, it was a mistake, and we have to learn from our mistakes. And he eternalized that lesson through the naming of the place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Could we go back to David's mistake for a minute?
Yeah.
That he should have explained. If he would have explained to the Am,
right,
the way that he paskin this halacha, and the thinking behind it. Like, I'm not so happy with that concept, because that concept that you have to understand that there are some people that don't understand halacha, and therefore you can't do, like, to me that's like saying there are some people that are not going to understand that tzedokim don't understand that you have a chalent on Shabbos. So you should never have any hot food on Shabbos, because the tzedokim wouldn't understand that.
Well, the thing is like this, is that...
the halachas that, you know...
I mean, the halacha isn't... the halacha isn't that... I mean, first of all, I don't think it's... You can't just equate everybody. I mean, it'd be nice to say everyone's Talmud Chacham, but it's just not true. And it's not like there's an isser to carry it on your shoulders. On the contrary, it's the highest kavod. It's just not a chiyav. The chiyav, the mitzvah, is set up in a time where there's a mishkan and there's an aron, and then it's like wrong. It's an issur to carry it like the same way as you carry the rest of the Mishkan. Here it's not wrong. But there is a k'derech kavod, and as a leader, he has to properly, he can't just follow the strict halacha, he has to inculcate into the people the highest kavod for the Aron. So is there a halacha that you have to dance like crazy? No, there's no halacha like that. But he has to sense the pulse of the people and figure out how to show them the significance of the Aron and the Torah. And it's not necessarily just through giving a shir. Yes, it's also through giving a shir, but you have to know how to reach everybody. And not everybody is shayach to give a shir about that halacha. But the Tinogosh Beis Rav Marin can appreciate the specialness of the Aron when you give them that shir. But they'll still understand the specialness of the Aron when you dance like crazy. And they should be great Talmidei Chachamim. Amir Tzashem, they will be. But not everyone is... the Am is comprised of many people at many levels. And that's part of the beauty of the Torah, is how it does talk to people on many levels. The Torah doesn't say everyone should be a Talmud Chacham. The Torah says that there's an Am and there's a Talmud Chacham, and there's different people, and the Torah talks to everybody on their level. There's sugyas and depths of Shas, and there's plain Chumash and Rashi. And everybody could appreciate the Torah on their own level. And no one's... That's where an Am. That was the Chiddush. Before, without Torah, you had Avraham Avinu teaching philosophy to people. Sinai brought in an Am, a nation who could be involved in the plan of Tariq Mitzvot, that God set up as a nation who could be involved in the Torah. And that's to each on their level. And that, as a leader, see, as a Rebbe, you may not have to worry about that. As a king, you're in charge of the entire nation. And that it could be, this was a transitional point in David HaMelech's leadership, was going from being the great Talmud Chacham to being the leader of the Am. This is early in his kingdom. The leader of an Am and properly representing Torah in their eyes. And that's what his dancing was. That's why he went to such an extreme. That was, it could be, it wasn't necessary for him. For him, he could sing to Helen privately in his thing, and you know, that's for him. But for the army, he wasn't. She just went big way on. Yeah. Question? Oh.
Yeah,
just give me 1 second. Yes, go ahead. So is that Sharon?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to clarify. He thought that since there was no Mishkan, it was okay to carry the Aron in Agala. That's what he did wrong?
Yes, I'm saying is that he was right. Arguably, he was right halachically. There's no halacha, there's no chiyav to carry it on the shoulders in the absence of the Mishkan. The chiyav is that if you have a Mishkan and you carry it, you have to differentiate between the rest of the Mishkan and the Aron. And here, since there was no Mishkan, the Chiyuv Dada didn't exist. Halachically, he was in the right. But in terms of the Kavod of the Aron, which he should have been conveying to the people, he was mistaken. He should have, the Tinogu Shalbeis Rabbam understood and appreciated the subtlety of what it means when all the greatest people are carrying it on their shoulders, and how that impacts the Am. And he should have been sensitive to that in a way which was beyond just the technical halacha, but he should have done that in order to impress upon the people the great kavod for the Aron. You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions?
Of
the father.
Shaul.
Yeah. Okay, good question. I don't have a good answer for that. But as if I don't know, good question. I know I didn't answer that. I know. Why did he get personal? Yeah, I had a thought, but I have to remember it. And
maybe it has something to do specifically with the character traits that he should have learned from.
Oh, it's true. I mean, I think Ayala's saying is right, but I think it deserves like a further analysis, is to figure out what exactly was, so to speak, the machlokas between Michal and David, and it seems like David was somehow tracing it to Shaul. Michal's mistake to some mistake of Shaul, and he was saying something like that. Something like, you are falling into something about your father's mistake, and I am stepping up above that. But I couldn't exactly trace it. I mean, you have to really do more of a study about Shaul's chatayim and see, you know, I didn't see anyone talking about it, but I think that's a good direction. That pursue the machlokas between Michal and it was machlokas. She had a position. She wasn't just getting upset. She had a position, but David Melch had a counter position. So I think it's something to pursue. I just didn't do it.